I shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think of all these reasons why I shouldn't go, and they were all, you know, personal, natural reasons. But then I just thought, okay, I'm not going to go. I just feel like I shouldn't go, so I'm not going to go. And I know now, I felt like God was telling me that, but I just really wasn't sure because I was so stuck between what I wanted to do and listening to what God was telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, as a result of that, I thought, well, Lord, you know, what are you trying to tell me?
I'm sorry.
And I kept feeling like he wanted, there was a reason why he was trying to tell me something. So I said, I want to know what's going on. Well, as a result of my obedience to not go to where I wanted to go and just stay home that day, I woke up with the greatest burden to pray for certain people that I haven't even thought about back in Thunder Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was really urgent about this praying. So I got up and it was about 6:30 in the morning. So I started to pray and God reminded me of a commitment that I made to pray, to be an intercessory prayer warrior, and that I had been neglectful in doing that for quite some time. And he also reminded me of his promise to me that if I would pray for other people, that he would also answer my prayers and bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to, in the office to get my Bible, and beside my Bible there's this journal book that actually Tula had given me as a gift back in 2003 from a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And he really prompted me to grab that book and read in there. And when I started to read in there, oh my goodness, it was all about praying and the prayers that were in there from before, and also about leadership and the things that we had studied, and lots of stuff about revival and what revival is. And you know, and it just really burned in my heart that we got to get back on track with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I really made that commitment that morning and went into prayer. And boy, did I ever make out a list of people to pray for and things. And just
good. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's what God we need, is God to move upon our hearts and just ask him, Lord, what should I do? And next thing you know, he'll give you something to do. You never go to the Lord and say, you know what, I'm bored. That's the last one you want to go and say, Lord, I am bored. Lord, I don't know what to do with myself. Well, here you go. Mm-hmm. And he won't give you any more than you can't handle. He doesn't overburden you or throw so much on you that you can't do it.
No, I really felt happy after that. I was just like, just been full of the joy of the Lord. And
well, good.
Really,
well, praise God. Amen. Anybody else this morning? If not, we're going to get started. The only thing announcements we have is I'm in a transition period, so if you don't see me one Sunday, don't worry. I'm still alive. I know the rapture didn't happen because you'll be with me on the rapture, so you won't have to worry. Okay? So, but it's just wonderful things that are going on with the Lord and things that are happening. And for others who never heard this last time, is there's one thing I would like you to do, is, and it doesn't have to be big, and doesn't have to, and it can be small, but one thing that you know that you should be doing that the Lord has been talking with to deal with it, or certain things that you know in your life you're not knowing you don't have to do, and you don't need the Lord to tell you because you know. Because sometimes we're always waiting for God to tell us something. If you know you shouldn't stick your finger on the stove when it's on, you don't need the Lord to tell you. Common sense would tell you don't put your finger there. And also common sense would tell you there's some things you ought not to be doing. So pay attention to those things you need to know. Pay attention to the things you need to know in Christ Jesus. And deal with something. Even a tiny little thing. Whatever it may be. And pray, talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been having difficulty here. You know what? Lord is going to say to you, I will help you. He's not going to say, oh, tough luck, you're on your own. Our God is with us, and he's with us to walk godly, walk holy, and walk clean before him, and walk in righteousness. So keep that in mind as we go through, and then I said the next little while we're going to be kind of moving from here and there till we get into our house. They assured us that we'll have a house sometime in the end of October, so hopefully we'll be into our place. We're moving out of here So we'll probably, we won't guarantee you where we'll show up, but if you don't see us one Sunday, don't worry, we'll be around, and we will come back on. And as soon as I have more definites, I'll give you more definites, but I don't have a definite because I don't really not sure what I'm going to be doing yet. It's kind of like when a preacher goes to preach and, you know, he's sitting there before the Lord and doesn't get a message, and all of a sudden it's about 15 minutes before time and he's saying, Lord, I don't have anything yet. And just before he goes in, he gets it. Well, sometimes you got to trust God that he knows what he's doing and something's going to come about. And especially if you don't have an answer, don't despair. And it's always terrible when you got to sit there and sit there and sit there. I've had this happen to me a few times when you don't know what to preach about or what you're going to go and do. And you get it the last few moments, but you want to know what? It's always in time, it's on time, it's every time. I've seen that so many times. So get in your big Bibles, little Bibles, or any Bible. Hopefully it's a King James Bible, because I love the King James Bible, because it is something to which we hold to the Lord, and we find such a good word, and we don't find it with things left out and so contradictory, especially concerning truth and light. We're on the second part of being an example. Now, we know there's all kinds of examples out there, and I've mentioned that before. In Philippians 3, verse 17, I used it for a text this the last time I started. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. Notice he said, be followers together of me. And I asked the question, are we not supposed to be followers of Jesus? And we are supposed to say, yes, we are. But remember, there's a reason why Paul is an example, and there's a reason why Christ is an example, and there's two different types of example we have here. While we're here in this flesh, we have to have someone who we are able to follow. That is, while he is on this earth, he's going to be doing certain things. In other words, the Apostle Paul was not a perfect man. So if we're going to walk with our Lord and our Savior in this flesh, we have to set up to someone to follow that is going to be a good example. The Apostle Paul and those to Timothy and all them became the examples to which we needed. Jesus Christ is our example after the Spirit, because we have a perfect spirit. When we get to that part, I'll show you, so don't despair. If you're kind of wondering, what is he saying or what's he talking about? I'm a little confused. Don't worry. Everything gets all clear as we go along. I don't always make everything perfectly clear at the moment, but usually when I get through it, you get an understanding of what we're going through. Now, it's important that we are an he is an example. He says, be followers together of me and mark them which so as ye have of us for an example. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he says this, these things command and teach. In other words, Paul told Timothy, command and teach this. And this should be in every church and every place, because it is the word of God, it is the epistles, it is our church doctrine to which every believer in Christ Jesus should walk in. And verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. If you're going to be an example, and God has said you are to be an example, if you are a leader, then these are the areas to which you should be an example in. Paul was, Timothy was, and Paul said, be thou an example and follow that which we do. Now, if it wasn't in the Word of God, I would kind of question Paul. But it is in the Word of God. God wanted it in there. He wanted good examples for us to follow. I think it's very good. Jesus Christ being the perfect example. Now, as we go into the next part about being an example in word, we find that we must do what the Word of God says. Not say, yes, this is what I do, but you don't do it. Usually we call those people hypocrites. Sadducees and Pharisees are full of them, and you've seen it so many times in the Bible, and we don't have to go there and pick out every time, but you can go there if you were there confronting Jesus about healing on the Sabbath. And you find out and understand that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And we find the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. But we find people who have become so hypocritical in so many ways and so many things that they are not true to the word. And you've got to be true to the word. Now, not just any word, but the word of God. And God says if we are true to his word and we're faithful to the word, we will be faithful and truthful to others. Because it becomes a two-way street. If you talk the walk and walk the walk, there's no confusion. Away you go. It's when you say one thing and do another, it gives a confusion. And this is what happens to so many Christians today. Or I'll even say so many religions today. They say one thing and they do an opposite. It's like Islam saying they're a peaceful religion while they're blowing you up. What you're saying and what you're doing are two different things. If I tell you that I love you, well, then I better love you. So it is, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to the word. If we are going to be faithful, then we must keep that word. By not letting any of God's word fall to the ground, as did Samuel. I mentioned that in last week. I'm just going to bring that back again. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. His words being God's words. He didn't let any of them fall to the ground. He held true to them and he stayed with it. A lot of us, after a period of time, like our Bibles, have a tendency to drop it and go on to something else or give up things because other influences. What God wants in you is the same that was in Samuel. A keeper of the word. Why? Because we are the generation that passes it to the next generation. And if we don't keep it, guess what? We've got nothing to pass on. We are so concerned about our children and their welfare and that they have their inheritance. The greatest inheritance that you can ever give your children is the things of Christ Jesus. They last for eternity. And if we keep the word, then we will have the same word, not somebody else's. And this is what happened down through the church ages. And I say this to our own fault and to our own shame. Where two of us sitting in a room cannot agree even on theological doctrine. But the word of God stands true and it says what it is. And it stands all test and time. And anybody that goes against it will be found out a liar. God blesses faithfulness in those that keep his word and do it. In other words, you don't do what his word says and you're not faithful with it. Don't expect to be blessed. Don't expect it because you're not going to be. God blesses faithfulness. What is one of the greatest things that God ever does with his people? He is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith. And it is what? Impossible to please God, but without faith. You try to please God without faith, it's a kind of a waste of time. The more of that word you walk in, the more of that word and the deep and the secret things he opens to you. Because why? You cannot go very far into that word without accepting the word as you go, because the word opens up to you. It's kind of like looking at a rose. And the way I can kind of explain it is you see the rose. But once you go in there and you start opening up the petals, you start seeing the beauty of this thing. And it's the same thing as you begin to walk in the word. As you start going deeper and deeper into the word, the more and more you begin to see and more things that open to you. And there you come like you do into the rose. You come into the heart and the core of so many wonderful things. Isaiah chapter 45 says this. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 3. He says this. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. He made promise to Cyrus he would open to him and show him. God says he promises to you that he would open to you and show to you. And if you are faithful to him, he will open it to you. The more of the word you walk in or live in that word, same thing, the more he will open his word to you. In other words, he will reveal. The example that one gives is that faithfulness and strength which shows forth a pillar, and that the word of God shall prevail over any circumstance. The doer of the word is like this. Matthew chapter 7. This is what you want to be. This is where God wants you to be. This is where you are to be an example. This is how they were examples to others. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Oh, we didn't turn on the... That's okay. That they come out the victor, it shows an awful lot. See, it is those we hear and see of that cause us to rise up and go forward and press on when we hear of these and how they've overcome, no matter what obstacle, no matter what they were up against, and how they pressed on and became victors. Mm-hmm. What we see are victors and overcomers, and this inspires us, at least it should. Every time we go to a show and go to a movie, we are inspired by a true story of heroism and courage and determination and perseverance and all this, and we applaud that, we praise that, we say, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. We have people who have come back home who have medals on their chest saying what bravery and all that, and we say, yes, these are victors, these are the ones who looked at fear and faced death and overcame it. Well, Christ did that too. And far more greater than anything that anybody else could have ever done. See, people have gone to battles and come out winning, and they've come back alive. But no man has ever gone to death and came back the other side.
Amen.
No man. But yet Christ did. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of strength. He conquered death and the grave, destroyed the works of the devil, even Satan, and became a victor. And he made a show of them openly, standing and triumphing over it when he rose again from the dead. And now he is in heaven himself, on the right hand of God, saying, I have the keys of heaven, of hell, and of death. This is what we need to have. We have to understand that what those word, that word that our God gives, being told of God that we are going to stand and we're going to do it. Noah was warned of God of the imminent thing that was coming and prepared for it, as God showed it. Hebrews chapter 11. See, Noah was a man who was a man of the word. He was a man of his word. And he was a doer of the word. He was a faithful one, because whatever God told him, that he did. Which we can praise God for. Noah not being any more different than you and I. It is the same God that was over Noah is the same God that is over us. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says this: by faith Noah, being warned of God things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Look at Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he is called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. God told him. He told him and gave him his word, and he did it. If you read all of Hebrews chapter 11, you see great men and women of God doing great feats in his wonderful name. Why? Because they believed their God. And I ask you this question: do you? Oh yes, I believe. Well, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You don't know someone unless you've believed and trusted in their word and seen them uphold their word to which they've given you. I don't care who you are. I know him because he is so and so. I know him because he is such. I know him because he says these things and he does these things. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Verse Verse 32 says this, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. That's not what we're looking at right now. I want to know the second part of the verse. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The only way I know my God is because of His word and what He says. And everything that He does confirms that and agrees with that word. Therefore, I trust it. Strong people do great feats like Samson. Look what the apostles did in the early days. And we can still do that today if we begin to believe our God and what? His word. And that He says we are able to do these things. And praise God for all those who believe that word and walk in it. All things are possible to him that believeth and obeyeth God's word. That's how I read it and it's how I understand it. There's no rocket science here. There's no great secret formula. But in other words, whatever he says in there, I believe it. Therefore, it is true. What we do with that word shows the character and the person that we are. Because when you walk with that word, the word of God, what you do find is it takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of determination. It is something to bear the name of Christ and to walk with that cross. Because there's people who ridicule and shame and laugh, spurn. But those who walk in it, praise God for those who stand in it for the simple reason they become the examples of it. And also we are to give an account of every idle word. In other words, every word that we have been given to walk in and we don't. You see? There's a lot of people, I would say, in Christianity are very lazy. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And sometimes we as Christians figure, okay, we've accepted Christ as Savior, we're all scot-free. Every one of us shall give account unto God what we have done, whether good or bad. Every one of us must appear at the judgment seat of not God, but of Christ, to answer and to what? Receive our rewards. He who does more of the word receives more. He who does little gets little. It is the same thing in all types of work. There will be no unions up there negotiating for you and saying to you, sir, the policies say that we are going to get equal pay. God says, no, there is no union and there is thing. He says, I am supreme ruler and I am the dictator here. And he says, and I rule because he says, I have all the gold. In other words, you don't like it, this is the pay you get. There's some people who have to curl up their hands and not expect very much because they won't get very much. And if you don't do much of that word, don't expect much of it in heaven. You can sit down and tell all the people what you're going to get. But if you're not doing what the word says, you ain't going to get. Because God is a very good accountant. Mm-hmm. He knows every little tiny thing. If you got all the hairs in your head numbered, he's got every reward numbered for you. He looks for those who will be a good example and lifts them up. Not what man likes to lift up. The Bible says, be doers of the word. The Bible says, be an example in word. Now, we're not just talking any word. We're talking about the word of God. And if we are, what, faithful to that word, then our word will become like that. And if you find that you're a doer of the word, you'll be a man of your word and less apt to break it. What you say you will do, and you stick to it because you're not a quitter. Your strength depends on being true to the word which builds character in you. This is why God says walk in his word and do what his word says. He knows what it shall put in us. Be known a man of truth and known as a man of integrity. Like as was Job. He was known as this. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil, and people knew this. Everything this man said was much set by. How do we fare as examples to others? So the Bible tells us, let us be an example in word, not a hearer, but a doer of that word. Be good examples, because we have good examples to follow. Who are your examples? Are they good or are they bad? Another example is example in conversation. This is one where a lot of people kind of might get a little red-faced. Example in conversation is something we should pay attention to, because out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Given a person enough rope, he always hangs himself with his own tongue. Give him enough tongue, he'll hang himself. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Conversation. Be an example in conversation. If you got your finger in Matthew chapter 12, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see this. Verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, which we went through, in conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. But let's go look at conversation for a minute. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35 says this, when Jesus was talking to these people. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It is amazing what a heart will say when given the opportunity. Like the investigator said in the police force, when they had the criminal there, he sang like a canary. In other words, he spilt all the beans and he confessed everything. The Bible tells us not to let corrupt communication come out of our mouths. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is a place where a lot of Christians can be at fault. I think some Christians have a tendency to think, well, now that I'm converted, I'm so perfect and I'm so holy. Well, I find a lot of Christians' conversations are not exactly a good thing. In other words, the conversation is corrupt. And some of the stuff they come out is not good. Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Very specific. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice it's speaking. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Our tongues are at times very venomous and can hurt others. This is why our conversation should always be kept in check, and we should not be perpetrating evil upon one another. The Bible says, being kind one to another, tender-hearted. A person who has envy and jealousy and a few evil thoughts inside their heart exactly is not tender-hearted. Turn with me to James chapter 3. I'm going to read a few things here to which we should see. Are we backbiting? Are we saying things that ought not to be said? Is our communication, is that coming out of our mouth, are what we saying unto edifying and blessing others? Or are we cursing and vilely being contemptible upon everybody with our mouth? Remember years ago, about one time a lady came to church, and I think some of you were here, and I started talking about gossip. And I was wondering, why was I preaching this message this morning, and I never knew what this person did or whatever. But as I started going further and further, I said, some people's tongues are like bullfrogs. And it's very long. They like to gossip. They like to say whatever. And they like to do whatever. And it's about people going behind other people and gossiping and saying all kinds of things. Then they come to church and they profess themselves to be clean and holy. What do you do in your corners of your room and when you talk to other people when there's nobody else around? And when you talk to the ungodly or when you talk to other believers, what are you saying? We as Christians ought to understand what James was telling us and saying to us about our tongues. James 3, verse 1, I think it's 1 to 18. It is. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce of winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. It's true. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You notice that little thing that's about the smallest member in your body, and it's got to be the biggest thing. And verse 6 says this, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame it. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That is our tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine of figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? And let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What he does. What he says. You see, when you find yourself spewing out cursings and bitterness, and here you're praising God and you're blessing, you're finding something is defiled in there. Better get in there and find out what it is. And shut the tap off. Verse 14 says this, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Why? Because your own tongue will say what is in your heart and it's going to come out. And it's very dangerous. Because verse 15 says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It is but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envy and where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. I think James pretty much hit it right on the head. And he nailed it. I don't think you could change or add anything to it, but other than expand and look at the areas to which our conversation ought to be. Say, well, if it's not so, or her so-and-so, worry about yourself. Don't worry about somebody else. Get your heart clean. That's so many times used to when I had fellows work for me. Used to come along, well, so-and-so is doing it, therefore I am not doing it. I told you. God's word, when you read it in there, doesn't say, oh, if everybody else ain't doing it, you don't have to do it either. It doesn't say that. It says you. He's very specific. God is very specific. Just the same thing is a whole group of people cannot confess Christ unless each and every one of them believe. And everyone that believes is saved. If that person did not believe in the group that was saved, you're not saved. So, you understand it is a personal thing. When you go into that Bible and you see that word is speaking to you. Don't go looking around the room saying, oh, it's not for me. Well, who do you think the Lord's talking to? The wall? I haven't seen walls get saved yet. Our conversation should be from above, not in vile garbage that we tell our children, don't you go and potty talk. But yet we ourselves are doing the same thing. You want to know something? Children learn from their parents. I know many places and the things that I've done wrong when my children learn from me, and I see it right away. If you don't want your children to pick up foul language, don't do it around the house. Because, I mean, I said, we are the greatest teachers to our children. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, a child will learn your bad habit faster than he'll learn your good habit. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. Our conversation should be in heaven, and that's where it should reflect whom has redeemed us. The Bible says the tongue no man can tame. Christ has tamed it. Jesus was a victor in all things, but he couldn't win the tongue. No, he was a victor in all things and a conqueror over all things. Therefore, doesn't matter what piece of flesh it is, you can bring it to subjection and into the obedience of Christ. Clean and pure for all to hear, that speech cannot be condemned. That's what we should be doing. Our conversation is in heaven, not in hell. Philippians chapter 3. So, well, you don't understand what it's like living in this world. Oh, I think the Bible does. I think the Word of God does, and I think we should. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. That's where our mouth should be. That's where our heart should be. Because I tell you one thing, if our hearts are in hell, out spews out all the garbage. Mm-hmm. Every time. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we, whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need our lives vexed by vile conversation. And if you're doing vile conversation, you are vexing somebody else. You know how the Bible talks about people practicing witchcraft on each other? And people say, well, how can we do the works of flesh? And in there it says witchcraft. When you gossip and you speak evil and you do things behind people's back, you're practicing witchcraft on them. You're opening your heart into wickedness. You're opening your heart for devils to come in and you to work out that hatred toward them. You ever been around people who have hated you? It's not a nice, good feeling. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. And I want you to see this. Remember Lot? His soul was vexed because of the conversation of other people. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. If we are children of God, then we must act and behave and live like children of God. Why? Because the Apostle Paul and them said they are an examples and examples for us. How do we ought to conduct our lives? And Jesus Christ gives us the power and authority to do so. A good chaste tongue is much needed in the church today. Gossip does not bless. Neither does backbiting and envy and false accusations. Then they only tend to more ungodliness, which poisons the heart of the hearer and destroys the lives of others. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 says this, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be not that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or a putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. This is very precious, and this is very true, and this is very holy. Our conversations. A woman who does not bring herself in subjection unto her husband, what does she preach? She preaches rebellion. And she passes it on. It is the same thing when you go and spew out all kinds of vile and contemptible things. Or you start gossiping and backbiting. To what are you blessing and to whom are you doing this for? The enemies of righteousness attack those whose conversation is upright. That's who the enemy comes after. Where is your conversation? The reason why I say that is, look at it. Don't sit down there and say, well, I've been pretty good and whatever. You know what? The thing is, a lot of times we do not look at ourselves. We do not look at what we are supposed to be looking at. Psalms chapter 37 says this. The enemies of righteousness wants you into all this filth and all this garbage and your conversation to be in that of all garbage. The reason why I say garbage, because there's just so much out there. Psalms 37 verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. This is why when you watch TV programs, you find that they're starting to bend and the thing of vulgarity and filth and sexual innuendos for one specific reason is to corrupt our language and our conversation for us to take on that. If you go back in Ezra and Nehemiah, when the children of Israel came out of the land of Babylon, the reason why he was so upset with them is because they had one language of Babylonian and the other of their own language. And if you look at that in the spiritual picture, is we in the Church of Christ start mingling the world and its language and its philosophies and start putting in the two, and our languages starts getting a little muddled and it starts going into that of the world. We start talking like them. Oh, we don't want to seem so different. We don't want to see so kind of backward. Well, I guess we should corrupt ourselves for the corruptibles because they don't want to change. So I guess we got to conform to them. They don't have to conform to us. We always got to conform to them. Why is we who are righteous have to give up and become unrighteous for everybody else? Why can't we walk a clean life and saying this is the way it's to be? Why do we let them drag us down and drag us down to their standard? Should not the world come up to our standard? We have a higher standard. We have the standard of Christ. Also, our conversation is just not about what we say and what we do and how we do things, but also it encompasses doctrines of Christ. Because we can blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word with filthy doctrines and heresies that run rampant in the Church of Christ today, to which we just destroy. You see, there's some people walk along and they will not say a dirty word or even mention it or even so much come near it. But yet, they could even be more filthier than the person with the vile, contemptible language that comes out of his mouth by the doctrines to which he walks in. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible said conversation. If it says conversation, that what comes out of your mouth and comes out of your heart. If you got garbage and junk in your heart, it's going to all come out. If your doctrine and theologies are all a bunch of garbage and muck, it's going to come out. We have to look at it in every part of it. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." When you say that you can lose your salvation, you are bringing in damnable heresies, denying that the Lord has bought you. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ has bought you and purchased you, period. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they be with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And like I have said, although many do not talk potty talk, and the reason why I say that is because just little kids, or are not vulgar in their speech, yet they can spew out vile, contemptible theologies and doctrines of devils that ensnare and destroy the weak and the innocent and the unsuspecting. These are far more dangerous than the vile talk. You know why? Because when we see somebody talking vile and saying all kinds of filthy things, we see it as it is. Mm-hmm. And we can deal with it. We know it's disgusting. But it's the things that are subtle, full of lies and distorted truth, is very dangerous and deadly. And many are misled by their teachings. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." As you go into 2 Timothy, he talks about those having teachers, having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth and be turned unto fables. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a fable, it is true and living reality. Our conversation should be right and from above. In all doctrines and theologies, in what we say, what we do, how we conduct ourselves, and every part of our conversation should be right. And that is everything that we should be working on constantly and paying attention to. A person that has a beautiful garden and a beautiful home and a beautiful yard pays attention to it. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's got everything to do, in other words, it just doesn't come by chance. A person who's got his life in order and is going forward in Christ and walking in that word is because he's been paying attention to it and going somewhere with it. In other words, he has to know, he has to tend to it. You can't walk with Christ, grow and have a field, and what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to plant and you're supposed to sow and you're supposed to reap and you're supposed to work your field, and you what? You neglect your life, spiritual life, and somehow you figure magically, mystically, somehow you would think is everything's going to be so perfect. And you don't wonder, and you wonder why. Our conversation should be aright and it should be from above. We should be working on that. Psalms 50. Verse 23, Psalms chapter 50, verse 23 says this. It says this, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." God really opens up things to them. "Loose lips and a loud mouth beget ungodliness and contention." Your conversation should be from above and not from beneath, where the devil can work wickedness out of an evil heart. Because that's what it's all about. Where envy and strife is, there's every evil work. Where there's backbiting, where there's gossiping, where there's vulgarity, where hearts are not true to the Lord, there's not godliness reigning there, it's hell. So when he says be an example in conversation, there's a reason and a purpose why. And he says, and we go through it and we find out. Timothy was teaching the very same thing that James was talking about. Bridling our tongues. Being careful what we say. Knowing that what we say is, as we do, are examples to others. And we influence others. And others influence us. This is where I'll leave it this morning because I don't think I'm going to get through here. No, I'll leave it here. And the next one will be example in charity. And we'll see that. But this is where we'll leave it this morning as we finished off conversation. And we just praise God and rejoice in Him that if our hearts are not right in these things, we get our matters cleaned up. Because that's what we need to do. We need to always, constantly bring our hearts and our minds back into the things of God, putting our ways to which we walk according to His Word, our conversation, to that which is befitting, which is blessing our Savior and blessing others, not cursing and bringing vile things. If you've been doing that in Jesus' name, stop it now. You have a problem? In Jesus' name, ask Him for help. Let's bow our heads and pray in the Lord Jesus.